Welcome again to these meetings on Believing Jesus. I am so excited about what he's been showing me. And I was all ready to go on to the very next thing about believing Jesus and another law of the kingdom. And I got arrested by the, you ever get arrested by the Holy Ghost? He said, whoa, slow down here. He says, he didn't teach us, he didn't give us that Recoding the Brain series for nothing. And we looked at a very important principle last week about the power of your words. And I was really about ready to go on to the next principle, but he's going, listen, if you got to incorporate these with Recoding the Brain, or nothing's going to change. The people, their practices, you're in me included, your practices will not change, and the power when you speak will not change. He says, now, you go at my speed and not what you think. So let's review a little bit from last week. And he's given me some thoughts about not only this truth. And I hope you heard last week's message. And it's about, you know, the power of our words and what Jesus said about it. He might let us review it a little bit. But I want to remind you of what he said to me right at the beginning of this series on believing Jesus. He said, I am the Word. I am is my name. I am the Word, and I am the Word in you. Your words are often stout against me. How can we walk together unless we agree? I do not change. Your words must change. Remember the training I gave you in the words document. Obey those instructions and watch my power flow when you say what I say. The works of the Father bear witness that he has sent me and that I abide in you. I am the Word in you. Believe on him whom God has sent to abide in you. This is the work of God assigned to you. You often speak facts as though they are truth. I only speak truth. I will not call facts truth. I am the truth, and I change facts to align with truth. My words carry no less power than when I said for light to be. There are no facts that can stand before truth when truth is believed and spoken. I am the truth. Believe on me whom God has sent to abide on you, to abide in you. Let me say that sentence again. Believe on me whom God has sent to abide in you. Speak only truth. Well, hallelujah. There was a good lesson that we taught last week from that foundation. I'm not going to try and review that again. But this, like I said, you know, as I was preparing this lesson, I was really going to go on to answered prayer. But he said, nope. He said, remember kingdom law. You remember, he reminded me at the near the end of Recoding the Brain that it was no coincidence that he sent Jim Martin to Immokalee to preach that series, to teach that series that he titled Kingdom Law. And his remember that. That was no accident. I didn't send that. That's not coincidence that that series came right at this time. Remember kingdom law, he says. Jesus is our king. He is the king of the kingdom. And the king determines the laws of the kingdom. Remember Jim Martin's series titled Kingdom Law. When Jesus made the following statement that I'm about to read, he is revealing a law of the kingdom. Now, this is the foundational verse that we read, verses that we read last week. Excuse me. Mark 11, 22 and 23. I know, old favorites. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. So everything that he's saying here has everything to do with having faith in God. To the point it becomes effective in the earth, see. Jesus had just cursed a fig tree and all he did was speak words to it. But see, God worked with God, the Holy Spirit, God the Father worked with those words, and what Jesus said came to pass. He didn't even touch that tree, but his words did. Because his words did, God did. And he's wanting to work that same way with us. Okay. All that's last week's lesson. So Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily, truly, I say unto you, now here it is, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, and what he's referring to is any obstacle, any problem, any demonic thing, anything that's in the way, be thou removed. And see, he's using a mountain because it doesn't matter how big it is. What's bigger than God? Have faith in God. God's going to work with your words. What does it matter the size of the mountain compared to God? Okay. Be thou removed. Now, you're speaking to this problem. Be thou removed. Be thou cast into the sea. Now, notice, shall not doubt in his heart. Now, please keep that in mind. That's going to be important, really important later on in this lesson. Shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. Now, here's what we have to believe, that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. But now, what's the law? Jesus is connecting laws to having faith in God. This is one of them. Do you want your faith to be effective? In other words, mine is. Did you see me speak to that tree? And I saw him speak to all kinds of things, all kinds of cancers and blind eyes and deaf ears and lame people and his words. But he would speak the words and God would work with the words to do the miracle. Well, he's going, have faith in God. I'm trying to teach you here. You know? He says, do you want your faith to be effective? I have faith in God. Does anything happen when you speak? Well, if you want things to happen, you want your faith in God to be effective, then the law is, this is the law of the king, the law of the kingdom. We must become a person who believes that what we say shall come to pass. It's a law. I don't believe it. Well, okay. Your words having a great effect every time you speak? Does God work with your words? You can violate this law at your own peril. You know, any law. I mean, God's not going to force you. You can break the speed limit if you want to out there. There might be a penalty. Well, the penalty for this is ineffective, weak, non-productive faith. James said that plainly. That's in the Word of God. See, we violate it all the time. Now, let's just tell it like it is. We, up until now, even though we have read this, we've all read this, I read it. Now I'm going to go just speak anything I want to say. Now I'm going to curse that guy that cut me off in traffic. I'm going to say, you go to you know where. And I know my words don't, that doesn't really mean anything. I can say whatever I want. It doesn't matter. And right there is the problem. Because we think like that. But Jesus said, you want to have faith in God that's effective in the earth, that causes things to happen when you speak? You want God to work with your words, do you? You're going to have to become a person who believes that when you speak, what you say will come to pass. See, I didn't read you one. Here we go back to the words document. I read you a big portion of this last week, in last week's lesson. And let me see if I can find it again. So I mentioned last week, remember Samuel, that God let none of his words fall to the ground. And I read you quite a bit out of the words document, but I didn't read the statement right before it. And really, this will be a future lesson where we speak at length on this. But the statement that he said right before that is, God turns up the power, excuse me, that's God turns up the volume of power in the words of those whom he chooses. Now see, that bothered me back in 1986 when I didn't know the Father very well, and I'm just learning at this, and I'm, oh God, I hope this is God, I hope this is the Holy Ghost, I'm praying and interpreting, oh God. You know, I'm new at this, okay? And I said, What is this? He just choose this one? Okay. Mary over there, I'm going to turn up the power in her words, but I'm sure not going to turn up the power in your words. I mean, that's the way it sounded to me, you know. God turns up the volume of power in the words of those whom he chooses. And so it was a long time before it dawned on my lightning quick mind. Thank God for praying in the Holy Ghost and continuing to meditate the word. Now he turned, thank God the power is not turned up all the way on the words that we speak, because it's all the words that we speak. I mean, I'm going to read it to you here in just a minute, what Jesus said about idle words. So when he says he turns up the volume of power in the words of those whom he chooses, it finally dawned on me. He chooses those who believe that what they say will come to pass. The rest of us, if we don't believe that, we just say whatever we say and we don't think it has any consequence, and God's not monitoring my words anyhow, and it doesn't matter what I say, and I can just say whatever I want. And, you know, we know God's not working with every word coming out of our mouth. Otherwise, when I think of all the times in the past, in a galaxy far away, a long time ago, certainly not this week or last week, certainly not, where I would say some stupid, ignorant thing like, my back is killing me. Thank God that he did not have the volume of my words turned up to maximum power. Gary has whatever he says. My back just killed me. That guy that cut me. And thank God what you said did not come to pass. Okay. You get it, right? He turns up the volume of the power in our words. The ones he chooses are those who have made their mind up. I am a person that my words matter. Whatever I say comes to pass. When I am a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I am here as an ambassador for him. When I speak in his name, and what I say comes to pass. Whew. Those are the people that God turns up the volume of power in their words. But it is a learning process. Now, how does he turn up the volume? There is a teaching that came a year later, almost a year later, 1987. And it starts off with this question. How does the Lord turn up the power in our words? And he answered it. And for a love offering of only $19.95, I'm teasing. We've got to take this in sequence. He had a reason for waiting about a year to tell me that, to teach me that. I'll go ahead and tell you this, so you just not listen. Angels are involved in this process. We'll go to Psalms 103 right near the end, where he says, "The angels hearken to the voice of his word." Now, it doesn't say to his. I misread it for years. I thought it said the angels hearken to his word. That's not what it says. He led me in a little. Now, again, we'll get into this in great detail later on. But that day that he was teaching me that, he said, "Hold your Bible up to your ear. Is your Bible the word of God?" I said, "Well, absolutely, it's the word of God. Hold it up to your ear. Listen. Do you hear any voice?" "No." He says, "You have angels that's been assigned to you. They hearken to the voice of his word." Are you giving voice to his word? Great detail later. All right, so getting back to today's lesson. So again, in that passage that we just read, Mark 11:22-23, where he says, "Have faith in God," and you want your faith to be effective. You want God to work with your words, and then you're going to have to become a person who believes that what you say comes to pass. Otherwise, your faith is going to be ineffectual. See, in James, he said this: "If any man among you seem to be religious," you know, I go to church, I believe in Jesus, I I love the Lord. I worship. I pray. I read the Bible. I even fast. I got to love the Lord because I fast. If any of you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue. Now, this is what I said. Notice up there when Jesus said, and doubts not in his heart. I'm going to say it to you again because I've lived this. Take advantage of my gray hair. Your faith can be effective when you believe in the heart, even though doubt is running in your mind like machine gun bullets. I have lived this again and again and again. You do it in spite of the doubt. You do it in spite of all those. You keep casting those down and do what's in your heart, what he said to you, and your faith will be effective. Okay, you got to doubt not in your heart. But notice this. What this is such a key. Oh, I'll never forget the day that this came. If any man among you seem to be religious. Okay, well, everyone I'm talking to out there, most likely, born again, spirit-filled, go to church, love God, worship, give, tithe, do, you know, all fast, do all the things that we say to do. But it doesn't bridle your tongue that you're religious. But you bridle not your tongue. What happens if I don't bridle my tongue? Well, you deceive your own heart. You're giving the devil a day off. The deceiver doesn't even have to come mess with you because you're just being your own deceiver. Did I do that? You're being your own deceiver. They're deceiving themselves. How are they doing that? Well, they don't bridle their tongue. They just say whatever they want to say, and they don't think it matters, and so their words don't really have any power. So I don't even need to go bother them. I got to go find these people that believe that what they say will come to pass. Those are the dangerous ones. Those are the ones that God's working with them, working with their words to destroy my kingdom, the devil says, you know. I'm going to read the whole verse this time, I promise. James 1:26, if any man among you or woman seems to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, the man's religion is vain. Now that word vain, you can just look it up. It just means what you think it does. Empty, zero, non-effective, powerless, nada, zip, zero, nothing. There's no power. There's no effectiveness. There's no change that happens in the earth. The kingdom, his kingdom doesn't come in that situation, and his will isn't done in that situation. And when we speak, nothing happens, and the person dies or whatever it is, you know. Now, notice the connection that Jesus makes between the tongue and the heart. You notice that up there in Mark 11, when the king gave the law, when he was telling us about this law of the kingdom. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea. In other words, problem, you shall vanish. Problem, you shall vanish. You shall go. And shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith. The heart is, notice the connection between the heart and the words that you speak, when those two are in alignment, you shall have whatever you say. James here says, if you don't bridle your tongue with the word of God and the will of God, if you don't bridle your tongue, you're going to deceive your own heart. Now, James is saying that because Jesus said that. You need to see this in your Bible. This one's important. It's Matthew chapter 12, verses 35 through 37. I'm going to give you a second to get there. Matthew 12, verses 35 through 37. I'm going to try and read it and then come back and comment on it. Don't know if I can do that or not. Notice again, though, the connection here between the heart and the words that you speak. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, oh boy, here we go. Here's the king. We're about to see a kingdom law here. About to see a kingdom law. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Good Lord. Can we be honest for a minute? Can we just talk here for a moment, believers, fellow believers? Let's get real. We don't take the body of Christ as a whole, us believers, we don't take this seriously at all. Like he really meant that. He surely didn't mean what he said. But the king here is giving another law of the kingdom. See, we think that we can, you know, we think that what we speak most of the time, that our words don't really matter. But we think then, well, I can just speak words that don't matter most of the time. But then when I want it to matter, then I can speak with authority against some mountain or some problem, and it's going to come to pass. But here's the deal. During all of that unbridled speaking, idle words time, you were deceiving your own heart. See, again, go back to the law the way Jesus the King stated it. The man that doesn't doubt in his heart but believes that what he says will come to pass. He doesn't doubt that in his heart. But we speak things all the time that we don't want to come to pass. And our heart starts asking us questions like, excuse me, this page is resisting me. Our heart might ask us, well, are you being serious this time? Or are you still just kidding around like the last time? Those words earlier when you cursed that guy, the one that cut you off in traffic, and you gave him a place to go, you go to. You didn't want that to come to pass, right? So your heart, you're having a conversation with your heart. I'm trying to understand you here now. Let's see. You didn't want the words you spoke that time. You didn't mean for that to come to pass. But now these words you do, right? I'm confused here. Am I supposed to enforce your word? Am I supposed to believe that what you say, you intend for it to come to pass or not? You're speaking all this stuff, and sometimes you mean it, sometimes you don't. How did James put it? Deceiving our own heart. How did Jesus put it? The person who believes in his heart that what he says shall come to pass. That person, the one who believes in his heart. In his heart. He's not deceiving his heart. He's not giving his heart different, enforce these words, don't enforce these words, enforce these words, don't enforce these words. Or let's say it this way. I mean it this time. I don't mean it. I mean it. I don't mean it. And your heart's going, I don't know what to believe here. I don't know whether this person, I don't know whether these words mean anything or not. Because Jesus, the law is, you got to believe it in your heart. Well, if we're always speaking words that we know when we say them, we don't mean it. How is our heart not going to be deceived? How is it going to know? I'm going to read it to you again, because it's the law. the king is speaking. Truly, I'm back into Mark 11, 22 and 23 here. Have faith in God. Truly, I say to you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed. That's what we want. When we speak, we want the problem to go, okay? But shall not doubt in his heart, not the mind. I'm telling you, I know you can have victory. I've had 1,000 victories with faith in my heart and doubt in my mind. Trust me, you'll win. You'll win. It's the heart that matters, your spirit man, the real you. And shall not doubt in his heart. But if doubt what? From your heart, you believe that whatever you say comes to pass. And you believe it from the heart. What you say comes to pass. That person and that person only, if I want to say it like a law, That's the person who has what you say. Shandai Mahandai, glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't want, when I'm going into battle against some problem, you know, whether it's in our house, whether it's, you know, my body, my wife's body, whether it's somebody else we're praying for, if I'm going to go in with the word who on the inside, I know that Christ is in me, but he's working through me. And if my heart is divided, if I have deceived my own heart by my own lax training, just speaking whatever comes to mind, and this time when I speak, I mean it, I want it to come to pass. This time when I speak, I sure don't want that to come to pass. And oh, what I said about my back, I sure don't want that to come to pass. Oh, but this time now, yeah, these words ain't. I've never seen it so clear. We're trying to do this with a divided heart. See, James, in that, he's that same one that said, the double-minded man. In fact, it's in that same chapter, earlier in that same chapter. The double-minded man. Don't let that man think he's going to receive anything from the Lord. Oh, my goodness. See, James is that same author who said that. Just a little earlier. In fact, he's James chapter 1, same chapter, chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. He says, let not the double-minded man, paraphrasing, let not the double-minded man think he will receive anything of the Lord. All right, so I'm not going to, you know, the principle we taught in detail, fine detail last week. This week, he arrested me from going on. He says, no, we got to recode our brain. Well, Let's remember some things from the Recoding the Brain series that we can do. See, faith without works is dead. If we don't do something different to start bridling our tongue, to bring it under subjection to the Word of God and really the Spirit of God, because the Word is truth and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. If we don't do something, we're just going to continue like we are. And we're going to have such little power like we've had, okay? Now, the kingdom law is, God, he really does. The ones he turns up the volume of power on are the ones who come to the place where they believe everything they say shall come to pass. Well, that's us. We're in training, okay? So the first thing he brought to my mind, and I've used this over the years, and I'm going to be using it even more now, is turn to this one, Psalms 141 and verse 3. Psalm 141 and verse 3. Hallelujah. All right. Out of the King James, it says, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Look at this. Lord, I'm asking you, keep the door of my lips. But the door is where the words go through. Okay. Boy, I have asked the Lord to help me with this. And I'm telling you, this is something you can ask daily. You can ask it more than once a day. And I'm telling you, he answers it. And what's going to happen, there's going to be a little slowing down. You're not going to be quite so, you know, somebody says something, anything. And you're not going to be quite so quick to just speak. Okay? If you ask him to do this, I know this from experience now. There's going to come a little check. Don't say it that way. Don't say that at all. And don't say it this way. Set a watch. This is a scriptural prayer. Help me, Lord. You could say it this way in modern times. You might say, ask the Holy Spirit to give you a check before you speak. That's how he's manifested the answer to that prayer for me. And when I'm conscious of it and aware of it, Lord, give me a little check. You're not going to be quite so quick to speak. There's a verse right there. But anyway, I can't quote it, but slow to speak, slow to anger. Okay. Before you speak things that are not true, according to the Word of God, we've got to stop this mess of deceiving our own heart by just blabbing all kinds of stuff. We are to be vessels of truth. Vessels for the Word of God. When we speak It should either be the Word of God or in line with the Word of God all the time. How else is the Holy Spirit going to work with our words to bring the will of God to come to pass? You have to learn. Now we're in training. Ask the Lord to set a Holy Spirit. Let me see how I said it there. Give me a little check before I speak. If I'm about to speak that, and you know, that not according to the Word of God or in line with the Word of God, give me a check, and you'll learn to monitor the ear of your spirit, even when you're in conversation with people. It may seem a little awkward at first. Being a teacher, I use words all the time, and I'm a big blabber. You know, I tend to, you say something to me, I tend to, you know, right back at you, in a good way or a bad way, you know, and that's not good. Jesus said it, you know, he didn't say anything that he didn't hear the Father say. Gee-many. There's our mark. That's what we're pressing toward, okay? Now, remember from the Recoding the Brain series, he said one of the major tools that we can use is repetition. And he got it real simple. That's how you learned your ABCs. That's how you learned your multiplication tables. That's how you learned to write and speak English or whatever language you speak. Most likely, if you're listening to me, it's English. Although we do have a lot of these lessons now in Portuguese going to Brazil. I don't speak Portuguese, but thank God for these volunteers of their own free will choice that have volunteered to translate so many of the messages. And some of them, they when I'm talking, you'll see, in Brazil, they see the words in Portuguese at the bottom of the screen. Isn't that great? People volunteer that just love God. They're just doing this of their own free will, you know. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, now remember from the Recoding the Brain series, repetition is a major tool when it comes to establishing new neural pathways. That's how you created those pathways. That's why you know right now your ABCs. You could still do it, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You could still do it. Your multiplication tables, well, hopefully you could still do it. If some of you haven't maybe used them in a long time because we have calculators now. I am kind of glad we don't have to keep doing long division. But anyway, I can still do it, though, if I need to. My brain has been encoded with it, see. But we can do this for ourselves. You know, I'm going to give you just a sample of how I'm doing this now myself. Again, I'm back in training again because don't we want, when we speak, have faith in God. When we speak, that what that means is God works with your words to cause what you say to come to pass so that problem is removed, gone. Like it's if it's cast into the sea, you're never going to see it again. It's like Pharaoh and his army. And he said, you're not going to ever see these guys again, never. And they didn't. But anyway. Now, but just to get you started, I really prefer that you do something on your own. Come up with your own confessions, your own statements. But I'm going to recode my brain. You can do what you want. I'm going to do something on purpose to recode my brain. And I mean, it's no fun learning your ABCs. How much fun is that over and over and over again? Learning your multiplication tables, learning algebra, learning whatever it is that you've learned in your life, you know? You had to practice at it. You had to do it again and again and again. So I've made up a few little confessions here. For me, you can make your own, but something that you can say again and again and again, recoding your own brain to even your own brain will believe this. You're creating neural pathways when you speak these things. So here's a sample. Here's my version. And there could be much more just to start, because he wanted me to do this lesson, because if we don't do something on purpose to change, nothing will change. Here's a start. Repetition. I have faith in God. These are my confessions now. I have faith in God. My faith is effective because I know that what I say comes to pass. I have been given authority from the King to declare his will against every demonic stronghold. My words have power. My words come to pass. God does not let any of my words fall to the ground. Remember that from last week? That's from the words document. all those years ago, he said, that's what I said about Samuel. You know, in the Word of God, it said, God let none of his words fall to the ground. He says, I want that with every believer. You don't have to be a prophet for that to come to pass. I want that for every believer. Every believer that will discipline themselves. In this very lesson about bridling the tongue, if they will do that, then I can do this and let none of their words fall to the ground. But when they speak, my spirit will work with those words and my will come to pass in the earth. God, it's almost prophecy, but so I felt another one of those waves. I like those. All right. Saw me glance at my coffee. I do loveth the coffee. I thank the Lord for the coffee. By the way, I used to say, you know, I drink a pot of coffee before I left the house in my younger days, and that was true. Now I'm down to about 2 cups a day. Well, how times change. How much time we got? Oh, we're doing real good. I'm going to do that paragraph again, and I'm going to continue. I've got 3 paragraphs here of confessions. I'm just going to read them. I've got 4 paragraphs. Okay. Let me read these confessions. Okay. Read them out loud. Just walk the floor and say, don't just read them. You got to say them. You're recoding the brain. Okay. That is an action. When you say words, that is an action that your brain recognizes. Oh, encode. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Encode. 2 times 2 equals 4. Encode. Encode. How about this? I have faith in God. Encode. My faith is effective because I know that what I say comes to pass. I have been given authority from the King to declare his will against every demonic stronghold. My words have power. My words come to pass. God does not let any of my words fall to the ground. I refuse to confuse my own heart by speaking idle, non-productive words. The King says I will be held accountable on Judgment Day for every word I speak. Therefore, I am very careful to speak only in line with the Word of God. Whenever I mess up and speak idle words, I am quick to repent according to 1 John 1:9. I confess it as sin and ask the Lord to cast those idle words down to the ground so they don't bear fruit. And I ask him to forgive me and cleanse me again by the blood of Jesus. And then I start over again. Aren't you glad his mercies are new every morning? Oh, and by the way, 70 times 7 a day. How often do we forgive? How about 70 times 7? Oh, every day. I'm still confessing. See, I didn't quite. We're still confessing. My words have power. God works with my words. What I say comes to pass. I have faith in God. When I speak to the problem, no matter how big it is, the power of God removes that problem and it is seen no more. What I say comes to pass. What if you spend an hour, you know, a few hours a day? What if you spent some time speaking those things over and over again, recoding your own brain? Now listen, your brain makes record. There's a recoding. It makes a neural pathway every time you speak. Speaking is an action. Speaking is something in this natural world, and the brain records those actions. Okay, what I mean is that's part of the encoding process. Now you've asked the Lord to set a watch upon your lips. He's going to honor that. You'll get a little, if you'll slow down just a little, you'll get a little check before that next ignorant thing you're about to blab. Oh, I was talking about me. Gives Gary a little check before that next ignorant thing he was about to blab. See, oh, no, don't want to say that. How would I speak? Oh, okay. Okay, Holy Spirit. He'll help you. I know this. I've done this before. I just haven't done it enough. Okay. Now, as I was preparing this lesson, right in the midst of it, I had again a little mini vision from the Lord, and my job is not to ignore those. I mean, he does those for a reason. And I'm going to read it. I'm just going to read it so I don't leave anything out. It's simple, but he doesn't make it hard for us to not be able to grasp this. He gets it down so simple, a child can understand it. That's, become as a little child, he said. Humble yourself, learn these things. So I'm just going to read this part. As I was preparing this lesson, I had a mini vision of a soldier in boot camp. See, this all has to do with Joel's army. He's equipping us for this harvest. We're right at the edge of it, maybe already in the edge waters of it. This mighty revival that he's been prophesying for quite a while now, that we thank God we're alive to be a part of it in our generation. That's going to sweep in a minimum of a billion souls into the kingdom. It's going to be the greatest harvest the world has ever seen. It's not just going to be in America. It's going to be all around the world. And he said in this one, it's not just going to be the pulpit type ministers that have that anointing. Like, we've all watched them and we thank God for the generals that's come before us. You know, the Smith Wigglesworths, the John G. Lakes, the Maria Woodworth Edders, the Amy Simple McPhersons, the Catherine Kuhlmans, and all of the ones like the Dave Roberson, Oral Roberts, Kenneth Hagin, others. We've seen watching them, but this time he's pouring out his spirit on all flesh. And Mary Wallpaper, Joe Public, each and every one of us are soldiers in the army. This, the one that Joel prophesied. It's to the devil. His kingdoms of his system of darkness all around the world. When Jesus would show up to any village where he had people crippled and maimed and blind and halt and all of those different things, Jesus and his disciples would come and they would destroy the works of the devil, set the captives free. And that was when Jesus was here in just his one body. What in the world will the devil think when there's millions of us, all of us with bodies coming, and Christ in us with the authority that he has, because we've been trained soldiers in the army. Glory to God. It's going to be a harvest that, to the devil's point of view, we are going to destroy his works of darkness, set the captives free, and millions are going to be, a minimum of a billion is going to be swept into the kingdom of God. What a time to be alive. But for that to happen, listen, soldiers have to go through boot camp. Soldiers have to have training. So I'm sure that's why he gave this little vision. Again, I'm going to try and read it without so much commentary this time. As I was preparing this lesson, I had a mini vision of a soldier in boot camp learning to become an expert marksman with his rifle. What I saw was in this particular part, he was in marksman training. He had a rifle. He was prone, lying on the ground, and ahead of him, quite a ways over there, was a target, like a white big piece of paper, with a bullseye type thing on the center of it. And he's just starting. He's a buck private. This is new, but maybe never fired a rifle before in his life, okay? At first, his shots were all over the place. Often, he wouldn't even hit the paper target. You couldn't find the bullet, missed the whole thing, much less a bullseye. But see, this soldier knows giving up is not an option. This soldier knows he will soon be on the battlefield, and it'll be a matter of life and death, depending on how much of a marksman he becomes. He had to start over again, and again, and again, reloading that rifle time and time again. At first, I'm sure there were times he thought, I'm just never going to be good at this. I'm going to have to give up. I'm not ever going to be a marksman. That's not an option when life and death are on the line, is it? You're about to go on the front line and that guy over there intends on killing you. You better be a better shot than he is, okay? The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He knows what he's doing. We better know what we're doing and get good at what we're doing, okay? So this soldier at first it was horrible. Couldn't even hardly hit the paper target, much less the bullseye. Okay, I have to reload again, start again. And I'm sure he had whatever they call the guy who's in boot camp, the sergeant, I guess, who's giving them direction. No doubt they would say, you know, give them instruction. There were probably classes involved. But with practice, practice, practice. Oh, I hit the target that time. Oh, I actually got one not pretty close to the bullseye. Oh, I hit the bullseye. I hit it again. Pretty soon he's hitting that bullseye about every time. Now see, the analogy is real simple. Your lips are the rifle and your words are the bullets. The Holy Spirit did not generate that vision in me right for this lesson for nothing. Nobody starts out being good at this. Everybody starts off just saying whatever they want to say and blabbing every little thing and whatever comes to your mind, you say it. I mean, we all start like that. Just like that guy. He's not good at rifles. He's not good at being a marksman. He had to train. He had to learn how to do it. Well, the Holy Spirit's showing us it's the same with us. It takes practice over and over again. You may have to ask the Lord to set a watch on your lips many times a day. You may have to go to 1 John 1:9 many times a day in the beginning of this, okay? Oh, forgive me. I said stupid stuff again, Lord. Please cast those words to the ground so they don't bear fruit. Forgive me. According to 1 John 1:9, Lord, forgive me and cleanse me by the blood. Let me start this again. I'm going to practice again with the words of my mouth, okay? But see, giving up is really not an option. Not if you're really a revivalist. Not if you're serious about being a part of this end time revival. Giving up on this practice with your words is not an option. It is a matter of life and death. It absolutely is. I'm going to read again here. This is life and death, not only for you personally on the battlefield. Every soldier knows it's a matter of life and death for him. But it's for really life and death for a whole world that's lying in darkness. And see, in World War II, my dad carried a pistol with him that had this one was an army issue. It was one that he had gotten somewhere that had clear plastic on the sides of it. It had these clear plastic things on the handle where he could have put a picture in there. And I wasn't born yet. And he had just married my mom shortly before, in fact, like 3 or 4 months before he was drafted to go into World War II. So right on his pistol, on the handle where he could see it, he had this beautiful picture of my mom. And years later, we were going through some things and I saw that gun and I said, wow. I said, that's really a pretty picture of mom. You know what he told me? He said, I never wanted to forget what I was really fighting for. It's not just my life on the battlefield. I'm fighting for my wife and my future family, that they don't have to grow up under the dictatorship of Hitler. It's a matter of life and death, not just for the soldier, but for his family and for the whole world, really, if God uses us in this revival. Okay. So that's not only my dad, every soldier out there that had wife and family at home, they weren't just fighting. They didn't have to be a good marksman just to save their own life. Man, they had other lives in mind. And us revivalists, we've got to have the whole world, really, on our mind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. We've got to have that same heart for the world. Okay. So I want to read that again. In World War II, it was not just the life of each individual soldier that was on the line, although it was, but each soldier was thinking of the lives of his wife and children back home. For us, we must think about a whole world of people living in darkness, headed for hell. You know, the whole world lieth in darkness. 1 John, right near the end. The whole world lieth under the power of darkness. And a really more accurate translation is that the whole world lies under the power of the wicked one. We must become excellent marksmen with our words. See, I've got to make that connection again because he did just now. It starts no more deceiving of your own heart. There is a healing of our heart, a unifying of our heart. Our divided heart is going to become healed and unified and strong because it's that person that doubts not in his heart that what he says comes to pass. That person is the one, and only that person. This is the law of the kingdom. That person and that person only, that kind of person, is the persons who, when they speak, what they say comes to pass. And that's you and me. We're in training. We're going to become excellent marksmen with our words. No more deceiving of our own heart. No more, when we go into battle, our heart wondering, are you serious this time? Do we, you know, is this for real? Are you just kidding around again? Are you just kidding around? Are you just going to, you know, play stupid again? I'm sorry to say it that way. I'm talking to me, not you, of course. Okay. We must become excellent marksmen with our words. Why? So our faith in God, this whole thing started, have faith in God, so that when we exercise our faith, it's effective. That our words that we speak, we use the name of Jesus all the time, although most of the time right now, we still don't see it come to pass. And it's, he plainly told us, it's because our heart is deceived. We don't know whether to take it seriously or not. Our own heart. Faith in God means when we speak, it will produce results. That mountain, that problem will be seen no more. He's reminding me. I had an incurable heart disease. That's why I had to quit driving the trucks. The doctors diagnosed me. They had to put a monitor in for weeks to find out what it was. But it was called supraventricular tachycardia. You can look it up for yourself. A lot of people have it, and it's not serious in them. But in my case, it was serious, because what would happen every now and then, instead of missing a beat, I'd have a super beat, which by itself, if you have one of those, you might have just a moment of being a little woozy, you know, just a, whoa, what was that? I remember those. But then as it progresses, if you start having those super beats, bam, 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 it'll evacuate the heart. I mean, you know, it'll just like, it's not doing it right. And you'll black out. And that's exactly what happened to me. And I fell out of that truck. I was already passed out before I fell, so there was no bracing of my arms. I just fell head first, bam, right on the asphalt. It's a wonder I didn't break my neck, because it's a pretty good fall out of those trucks. You've heard me tell that story many times. Well, that supraventricular tachycardia, once they diagnosed it, they said, well, this is incurable. We can give you, all we can do is give you this medicine. You'll be on the rest of your life. It was called verapamil. I still remember. It's very strong. It has terrible side effects. One of them being accelerates, increases the onslaught of arthritis in your body. Well, dear Lord, that's the last thing that I needed, you know, in my 50s, you know, is arthritis accelerating in my body. But if I didn't take it, now, okay, I've got to shorten this down. We're about out of time. The end result, I had it, and according to all the doctor's reports, and still today they say, if you ever have supraventricular tachycardia, you'll have it your whole life. But when they do exams on me now, see, they've probably heard the story how God healed me over a 2-year period as I confessed the word. That's not his best, but that's what happened. Well, I'd rather be healed not his best than not be healed at all. Anyway, anytime they put me on an EKG or they monitor my heart, they check my history, you know, your chart, and they go, you know, this says that you were diagnosed with supraventricular tachycardia, but we don't see any evidence of it now. And I said, no, you won't either, because my pastor, Dave Roberson, prayed for me. And when he did, Jesus healed my heart. And I've been healed of it ever since. I haven't taken any of that medicine since May of 1998. And here it is, 2025. You know, I haven't blacked out from my heart anymore. No, I just don't have it. They can't even find it on, you know, when they do an EKG or anything on me. So, but God had me speak his word every time I took that medicine for 2 years. Every time I take my natural medicine, and I'd take my spiritual medicine, you know, and I didn't look up the verse for you, but the Word of God is like medicine. It's like medicine to your heart. We'll get into that another day. I had to come to the place where I deceived my heart no longer, and I spoke it again and again and again. By His stripes I'm healed. Lord, I thank You. Jesus, You took sickness away from me. You bore away sickness in Your own body. I don't have to have it anymore. Every time, 2 years, speaking the truth, speaking the truth, speaking the truth. And the day came, the Holy Spirit told me. I was about to refill that Verapamil prescription again after speaking the word like that daily for 2 years. And the Holy Spirit told me, no, you believe me now and your healing is manifested. You'll never have to take that medicine again. And I never have. From 98 till 2025. And even the doctors can't find it in me anymore. And that's supposedly an incurable heart disease. The mountain, that problem, it has a name, supraventricular tachycardia. It's seen no more in Gary. That mountain's been removed. But he had me speak to it because I was very much a novice. He had me speak to it really for 2 years. Now he's told us in this time, he wants us to expect instant manifestations. Now 2 year manifestation is better than no manifestation, but he's stepping it up. I was a baby in all this then. We're not babies anymore. He's growing us up and growing us up quickly. You know, they make soldiers out of civilians pretty quick in those boot camps. It doesn't take a long time. You know, you can take this. What did you do? I made sodas and french fries at McDonald's. I answered the telephone at this business. That's what I did. Or, you know, whatever it is you do. Okay, boot camp. Doesn't take long. You come out, you're a trained killer. You're an excellent marksman. You can march. Your body's been, you know, gone from a sad sack to an athlete now, and you can carry a 40-pound pack and run, carry your rifle and shoot. You become an effective soldier, and it doesn't take all that long. I want to finish with this. We shall deceive our hearts no longer. That's my decree over you. We shall speak empty words no longer. We are soldiers in Joel's army, and our words are a matter of life and death. Now, let me give you scripture for that. Let's finish with this. I know you've heard it before. We're going to look it up in two versions. Proverbs 18, verse 21. Please go ahead and look that one up this time. Proverbs 18, 21, out of the King James. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now, for years, that part, they that love it, I wasn't quite sure, because everybody speaks, everybody has a tongue. The Amplified, I think, gives us a better understanding. So here it is out of the Classic Amplified Version. Proverbs 18:21, Classic Amplified, says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it, for death or life. We all indulge in it. We all speak words. We all use the tongue. The question is, are we going to use it for death? Are we going to use it for life? We can unify our heart where there's no doubt in it if we will become good soldiers and allow the Holy Spirit to help us bridle our tongue with the Word of God, so that when we speak, it's always either the Word of God directly or in line with the Word of God. So God, the Holy Spirit, can work with our words, and the Father's will be done on planet Earth. Glory to God. Say these confessions. Make your own confessions. Ask the Holy Spirit to put a watch on your lips. Do it. Do it. If we don't do something different, we're not going to change. But I believe we will do it. We are going to change. We shall become excellent, excellent marksmen with our words. And our words have power. Glory to God. Can't hardly wait till the next time. Love you so much. Bye-bye for now.